Yo, welcome to the Unchained Podcast. I'm your host, Keelan Martin, joined by the Bible scholar, Charles Leger, a.k.a. Granddaddy. If you're curious, we're just two guys looking to spread love, hope, and joy across the world by sharing with you the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it changed our lives. And we made this podcast so we could specifically show you how it's going to change and impact your life as well. So we aim to take this message across the world, and you can help us do that by going to anchor.fm/unchained. That's anchor.fm/unchained. And from that page, guys, you got three options. The first option is called More Places to Listen. Click it, guys, and then you can listen to us on your favorite podcast station. That helps keep us on the air. Or you can click the button right below that, and you can donate to help keep us alive. You can make a small monthly contribution, or you can leave us a voice message and tell us how this podcast has changed your lives. Thank you, guys. Hey, yo, what's up, guys? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. Man, we are here another week. Man, I am blessed and highly favored. Why? Because I woke up this morning. I'm breathing. I have my eyesight. I have use of all my extremities, all my functions, right? All my cognitive functions. So praise the Lord for that. Now, although the sun is not out and is not shining, I am still grateful that today is a beautiful day. Why? Because today is a day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And guess what? Y'all should do the same, man. Today is great. I woke up, had an awesome Bible study. However, I'm recording the podcast a little later than normal. Why? Because this particular podcast took a while to unpack. If you guys have been tuning in, you guys know that we have been heavy on Mark chapter 4 the past 2 weeks, and we have been unpacking the parable of the farmer sowing seed. And we have unpacked, you know, why Jesus gave those particular parables in Mark chapter 4, and how and what that translated to at the end of chapter 4. Because I love chapter 4 of Mark, because, guys, what we see is Jesus teaching faith, and then we see Jesus actually putting the teaching of his faith into action by inviting the disciples onto the boat. While they didn't really see what was going on, Jesus knew exactly what was going on, right? It was the whole Mr. Miyagi thing. Like, I'm going to tell you how to do this, but this is what we're really doing in the background, right? So the past 2 weeks, we unpacked a lot. We talked about a lot. I've gotten a lot of feedback on the past 2 weeks, and I'm excited that this word and what has been said by the Holy Spirit has changed and transformed your life. That's what this podcast is all about. So just to recap, 2 weeks ago, we talked about, again, the farmer sowing seed and how it fell upon the footpath, how it fell upon shallow soil and among the thorns and infertile soil. And we unpacked that, man. And I told you guys the revelation came that the type of soil that the seed fell into was not indicative to the specific type of person, but more so it was indicative to the specific part, parts of your life, to where your faith can grow or the lack thereof. Then we talked about last week how, Jesus invited the disciples into the boat, and how I believe that that particular scene in the Bible was all orchestrated by God, of course, because this was going to reveal how much of what Jesus has just taught, how much it had taken root, how deep has it gone? Because again, when they were confronted with the idea of death, the disciple says, "Do you not care that we're about to perish?" Jesus asked him, "You still don't have faith?" You know, he questioned their faith. They were talking about death, but he questioned their faith. And we talked about how faith and fear can coincide in the same boat, but how we choose to live our life will reveal which area that we're living in. Are we living by fear, or are we living by faith? You guys have to go and listen to the past 2 weeks to see how the Lord actually, relayed that word, what he gave to me and how he relayed that word. One thing that I don't ever want to do is I don't want to preach dumb and I don't want to speak dumb. But I gave those messages to the best of my ability. I leaned on the Lord for revelation from that, as will this word be relayed by revelation alone. So, man, I woke up this morning and the Lord has spoke to me about wanting to go into chapter 5, and that I had to unpack chapter 4 in order to move into chapter 5. But for some reason, I woke up stuck and stumped. Although the Lord had given me the outline, I didn't really know the foundation or the path in which I wanted to move on Mark chapter 5. However, I am heavy burdened to relay this message, not by something that I think I should speak, but what the Lord has given me to speak. It was just a matter in which he has given me to speak it that has made it burdensome to teach, because I can identify with chapter 5. We're going to go through verses 1 through 20, but I can definitely identify with it because most of you who are listening to this podcast, I can identify with it. And I'll go on to say that pretty much a lot of what we teach on this podcast, just about every one of you can identify with what we discuss on this podcast, because I promise you guys, if you read the Bible, you'll find and see yourself in each part of these stories. Jesus will say something that will absolutely prick your heart. Paul will talk about something. David would have gone through something. Samson has pretty much been through something. There are so many different stories in the Bible that relate back to us. You just can't be prideful not to admit it. You just can't be that prideful not to admit it. So without further ado, guys, I do want to go into Mark chapter 5. And I want to go into Mark chapter 5, and I really want to talk about, what this word has to say, because it is very dear to my heart, guys. I promise you, it's very dear to my heart. And once I break this down, you guys will understand so much what I mean by this is relative to a lot of us. So let's get into this word, guys. So again, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and it talks about Jesus heals a demon-possessed man, right? So they arrived at the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gerasenes, and some texts it says the Gadarenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with the chain. Whenever he was put into chains, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves and the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." The evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. "There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter into them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned into the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. So guys, the reason why I say this is so dear to me, because I want to break this down so we can actually understand why this is dear to me and why this should be dear to you, right? Most of you would argue the fact that you're not demon possessed. Most of you would argue the fact that you don't have a bunch of demons living inside of you. Most of you would argue the fact that you don't live in a cave and that you don't cut yourself and you don't howl and holler among the hills. But I beg to differ. I beg to offer a different perspective. I beg to offer a different perspective. That perspective being that of which, not from Jesus's perspective as to what he saw, or the disciples' perspective as to what they saw from the boat. But what about the man's perspective? What about who he was? Because I do want to point out something crazy that, you know, last week we said the disciples had the fear of dying, like in the boat. But the story begins at the arrival to the other side of the lake in a place called the Gadarenes. And I'm going to tell you why that part of, or that statement, is so important, because, you know, we often think that, that we're going to die in the storm or whatever it is that we're going through, whatever's happening to us, we kind of chalk it up to, you know, we're never going to, you know, get out of this mess alive. We're never going to reach the other side. And this really, guys, when I said that we are to operate in the, you know, in the realm of faith or fear, or how we operate in the realm of faith, the fear determines our outcome. Now, if we operate in the realm of fear, then you know what? There is no other way to come out the other side. But if we're operating by faith, it does not matter what the storm appears to be. We know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what it looks like, that we will come through to the other side. So as I was doing this Bible study, the Lord pressed upon me to research what the Gadarenes, the name. Now, the reason why that came to mind is because when I read in my Bible app, there are these little note tabs that are beside specific words. So when it says in the region of the Gerasenes, when you click on it, the other translation says the Gadarenes. So I was curious, what was the difference between Gerasenes and the Gadarenes? They have two totally distinct different meanings, right? But the one that really touched me was the Gadarenes, because when you look at the definition, it says a headlong rush to move without control or thought, a headlong rush to move without control or thought. So me being dumb, I was like, what is a headlong rush? This means that a person moves headfirst into a situation without any regard of the consequences. A person will do something or act upon something without any regard to what might happen. They're not worried about the consequences. It means to move without control or thought. So God pressed upon my spirit that this is emotional movement. So when I translate this, it says they arrive to a place of emotional movement, right? So think about that, being in a realm of emotional movement. Some people get moved by concerts. Some people get moved by sermons. Some people get moved by praise and worship songs. Some people get moved by speeches or inspirational speeches or motivational speakers. They are moved in the realm of emotional movement. Okay, the word Gadarene is a play. It's a play on words as well. It means to move headfirst by impulse, right? Headlong means you're not using your head at all. You're actually making an emotional, impulsive move or choice. You're moving based off what you feel and not moving based on what you know, right? So the word headlong, like I said, is a play on words, because you're moving out of emotion. You're not moving by thought, right? So when we say use your brain or use your head, it generally means we are using our thought process to make a smart decision. And I'm hammering on this specific place and what it means, because although your life is about you, it's not about you. Okay. And I said that because we tend to make all of our moves, all of our thoughts, all of the processes that we go through, we make these moves predicated upon how we feel, or we make choices predicated upon how we feel. We do things predicated upon what we're going through, like whatever situations are relevant in our life, what is revealed to us, that may determine our next step in our process. And we do that based upon our assumption or perception that our life is all about us, right? And I'm making the argument that it's not always about you or myself. And in this text, we see a man who lives in burial caves, because that's where he lives. He lives in the burial caves. He lives, eats, and sleeps among the dead of the world, among dead people, the dead things. So I can imagine him sleeping in the caves around where they're burying bodies. And I'm pretty sure that they don't have an embalming process or a care process. So he's among like the stench and probably the insects that are feeding on the flesh of the dead. And like, that's where he's comfortable, so to speak. He couldn't be tamed or restrained. And another word for Gadarenes is reckless. Look it up, guys. I believe in the Greek, this word comes up, reckless. And this man he's in a reckless state. He's wandering, and he has this animalistic behavior where like he's wandering through the hills and he's howling and he's cutting himself with stones. And I believe that he is going through this type of hurt and pain. And he's doing this because of what he feels emotionally that is beginning to manifest on him outwardly, so to speak. So he performs outside what he feels like on the inside. Okay. He was an outcast. He was pushed outside of his town. He was, you know, it's kind of like being in a loony bin. So they didn't have like a loony bin to put him in. So they pushed him outside the city where they buried the dead people, and they tried to restrain him. They tried to put him in shackles and chains, but he was super strong. He would break the chains. He would break those shackles. The things that they were trying to confine him to, he would often break. And this is who we see him as until the story takes a turn when he meets Jesus. And so I wanted to look through his lenses, because in our own personal life, we tend to act out like we howl, we holler, and we cut ourselves because of what we can't emotionally understand. So we talk stupid, we talk irrational, we talk foolishly, we say stuff like nobody loves me, like nobody cares. We make these false claims because we cannot understand what we're going through emotionally, and because we can't put a finger on what we go through emotionally, we tend to act out emotionally. Like we tend to present what we feel inwardly, and we say things that don't make any sense. We have foolish speech. We say things without reason. Right. We make a bunch of noise. We get on social media and when we broadcast our opinions without any real depth or validation or foundation as to what we're talking about. We make a lot of noise. We do a lot of stuff which all stimulates from a hurt place. So anytime we see people who act foolish, talk foolish, people who say things without regard, we can now understand that we are speaking from a hurt place. This tends to be something that we do quite often. In our life, we tend to do this when we can't justify how we feel. We do this when we can't figure out where these feelings of depression and anger and hurt and anxiety come from. We tend to make a lot of noise, and we howl, we scream at people, we yell at people because we don't know how to articulate the pain that we feel. Right. And so I want us to kind of see things through his lenses. Like, guys, we also see him wandering throughout the hills. I would imagine that where he is kind of desolate because there's no interaction, right? There's no real interaction there. Like, he's been put in a place where there's nobody to talk to. He's isolated. And the state that he's in, the only person that he can really talk to is himself. And he doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know Christ. He doesn't hear any of the talk, I believe, because he's in a place where he can't hear news. He's not in a place where he can really turn on the TV and hear Jesus and hear what he's doing. He can't really hear about the miracles. He's in a place where he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know anybody. No one comes out to visit him. All the interaction that he has is what people see him as. That's the only interaction. People come out and see him for who he is at this current moment. And the only thing that they think is they think that he should be locked up. They think that he should be away from everyone else. They think that he should be kept with the dead people. He should be locked up with the rest of the world. And sometimes in our own personal life, we're isolated. No one can relate to the pain that we feel. No one can understand what we go through, what we've been through. No one understands the molestation. No one understands the rape. No one understands the drug addiction. No one understands the pornography. No one understands the drunkenness and the brokenness. No one understands the abandonment. No one understands all the hurt that we feel. And so we tend to try to drown out the pain by living among the dead. And it's not that we really want to live there, but we're outcasted from circles. Like, nobody really gets us. And because we act out, because we don't know really how to articulate the pain that we feel, we're then pushed to a place where we have no interaction. Nobody understands. We're given a label. We're told things that we're not. You feel me? We can only act out with the knowledge that we know. We can only put our best foot forward with the information that we've been given. And we see a man who is possessed by a legion of demons. He is out living among the tombs in the caves and in the hills. And in our uncertainty is we tend to self-destruct. We tend to sabotage our own healing. Like we cut ourselves. We sleep with strangers and we search for peace in bottles and we attempt to snort our way back to freedom. Like we'll even go as far as to sever our connection to Christ without even knowing it. I truly believe, like the storm in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, I believe that storm was sent by Satan in his attempt to prevent Jesus's encounter with Legion. And I truly believe that in our emotional state, the emotional actions that we commit, they have the ability to advocate for our character in our emotional state, meaning that sometimes our character will precede our like who we are to other people based upon where we are in life. So people will judge you based upon where you are in life, and then won't give you a pass because of where you've been and the things that you've done. So they don't allow you to advocate for yourself once you come to. Right. Like once you become a different person, they can't see past who you've become or what you've done. So this begins to be something that we tend to hang on to. And because of it, because of what we've done, we don't know how to forgive ourselves. So we just tend to cut ourselves by hiding behind the drugs, by hiding behind the needles, by hiding behind the sex, by hiding behind the promiscuity. Like we tend to hide behind those things because that's the only thing that's normal for us. This is where we live. In our damage and unhealed state, this is where we live. In our unsaved state, this is where we are. Right? Our actions have preceded us and have told our story before we have even gone to meet people. But that doesn't mean it keeps Jesus from pursuing us. Right? Like this doesn't keep Jesus from sailing across the lake. This doesn't keep Jesus from getting off the boat. I believe our actions have, you know, they tend to go and tell a story to people before people actually meet us. I do believe that storm was sent by Satan in Mark chapter 4, verse 39. I do believe that storm was sent to keep Jesus from meeting that man. And sometimes, guys, like our actions, they go before us, and sometimes they create a storm and we feel like we can't meet Jesus. The actions that we commit, we feel like we're unworthy of him doing everything that he can to get to us. And a lot of times, guys, we have seen Jesus somewhere, but we think that Jesus is not for us. Again, where we are does not mean that Jesus can't pursue us. That doesn't mean that what we've done keeps him from pursuing us. The man saw Jesus at a distance. And so somewhere in your life and somewhere in my life, like before we've met Christ, we have seen Jesus, maybe in a message, maybe in this podcast, maybe through evangelism, maybe a church invite. At some point, you've seen Jesus. At some point, Jesus has tried to communicate with you. At some point, Jesus has tried to shorten the distance between where you are and where he is. He has tried to remove the middleman. He has tried to lessen the gap for you and him, or he and I, to be together. But the difference between seeing Jesus and truly seeing Jesus, there's a difference. There's a difference between seeing Jesus as religion or seeing Jesus as a healer. Seeing Jesus as just a figment of history or seeing Jesus as your redeemer. There's a difference in just seeing him as a figure, more like a public figure, than seeing Jesus as the Messiah. There's a difference between the man Jesus and the Messiah. There's a difference. He was more than just a man. Your perception of who he is, that determines if you ever get free. That determines if you ever get free. Is your perception of who Jesus Christ really is in your life? Is he the King of Kings? Is he the Lord of Lords? Is he the Prince of Peace? Is he the counselor of your life? Is he your healer? Is he the friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Like, who is he to you? Because this determines your perception. Like, this determines who he is in your life. If you only view Jesus, if your only truth about Jesus is this, is that he's a historical figure, you will never get the healing that he is called, that he said that you can have. Sorry, not calling, but the grace and salvation that he says is available to you, you will not receive that because your perception is wrong. There's a difference between what the world says Jesus is and who us as believers say he is. So I want to talk about the want of change, right? I believe the man wanted to change. Like, we see a man trapped in his lifestyle, again, among the dead, howling, making noise, cutting himself, unable to get free, outcast by society. Because you could be trapped in brokenness. You could be trapped in your sexual immorality. You can be trapped in your drunkenness. You could be trapped in your anger, your depression, whatever it is. You could be trapped in that. But just because you feel stuck doesn't mean that you are stuck. This man did six things that I saw in his passions to get free. He did six things in his passions that I saw to get free. And I promise you guys, like, these are heavy. These are heavy, heavy. And I never caught this before. I never caught it. So here's one thing that I want you guys to realize. It says, for one, I want you guys to realize, sorry, let's make it seven things. Because when Jesus came out of the boat in verse 2, he says a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. So he came out from the dead when he recognized Jesus was in the atmosphere. When he saw Jesus coming, he came from the dead. He came from the dead things. He came from, he took some time to get away from his friends to go to church. He took some time to get away from the computer to go to church. He took some time to move away from his addictions to go to church. He took some time, you know, from his addiction to go meet Jesus, to get in the presence. He took some time to get away from those things that were dead, that were holding him captive, for him to actually move away from the situation so he can get in a realm where he can even interact with Jesus. It takes a step forward to meet Jesus. Okay, then it says, when Jesus was still, this is verse 6, was some distance away, the man saw him. Again, there is a difference between seeing Jesus and seeing Jesus. And he could not have saw Jesus if he was still among the dead. He could not have saw Jesus if he was still among the burial caves. He could not have saw Jesus when he was still among the deceased. The things in your life that are taking away your energy. The people that are introducing you to drugs and alcohol and pills and fornication and pornography. It's hard to see Jesus when you're around those dead things. When you're around dead people, people who are spiritually dead. It's hard to see Christ when you live among the dead. Every day of your life, when you are involved in things that you should not be involved in, the people that you're around that you should not be involved with. It is hard to see Jesus. But it says he had come from among the dead. He came from among the tombs. And when he did, he saw Jesus. And sometimes, and I know when I really was ready to move away from dead things and I stepped through the doors of the church, I saw Jesus for the first time and I saw him as a healer. I saw him as a deliverer. I saw him for the very first time. Does that mean that I was instantly changed? Absolutely not. Does that mean that I immediately stopped cursing? No. Does that mean that I immediately stopped smoking weed? No. Does that mean that I immediately stopped drinking? No. Does that mean that I immediately stepped away from pornography and infidelity? No, it did not mean that. But for the very first time, I saw Jesus, even from a distance, even with all these things that I had between me and him, I saw him from a distance. And then it says he ran to meet Jesus. So the first thing he did was he came from among the dead. He made the choice to get in the presence of God. The second thing he did was he saw Jesus. The third thing that he did was he ran to meet him. He ran to meet him. Even in his evil condition, he ran to meet him. Even in his possessed state, he ran to meet him. And I said that's important because a lot of people say that I got to clean myself up before I meet Jesus. That is not how this works. If you could clean yourself up, then there would be no need for him in your life. I hear people all the time tell me, well, let me get in shape first before I work out with you. Well, if you can get in shape on your own, then you don't need me to coach you. Right? So he ran to meet Jesus in the state that he was in. It didn't say he was free first. Then he went to meet Jesus. It says he ran to meet him. That was number three. Number four says he bowed low before him. He bowed low before him. Guys, this is iconic to me. The fact that he could see Jesus from a dead place. The fact that he received revelation among coming from the dead. The fact that he acknowledged and confessed Jesus as the Son of God and Lord of his life. How do I know that? Because he bowed low before him. He bowed low before him and then with a shriek, and if any of you have ever been in church, if any of you have ever seen someone who was hurt so bad or who was so desperate to get free, you've heard people shriek or scream or cry out to God. And it says, the man says, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He made the proclamation right when he bowed low before God. He ran to God and he hit his knees. This was an act of worship. In his demonic state, he went to a place of worship right there from where he was. And he claimed Jesus as the Most High, Son of the Most High God, and in the name of God. Guys, let me tell you something. Repenting, is turning from your ways. And this is how you find mercy, guys, is acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Heaven. Right? He's the King of the universe, of everything that has, is, and will be created. He owns it all. He says, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." And I have to break this down for a minute. Guys, again, like I said, I was so moved by the fact that he worshiped Jesus from his condemned state. The fact that he was possessed, he ran and bowed low before Jesus and acknowledged him. Not only that, he asked for mercy. He said, "Don't torture me." This is him asking for mercy in an act of repentance. He asked for mercy in an act of repentance. And Jesus gave him peace to give him presence, right? Let me explain that. I had to read that. That's why I sounded like that. Jesus gave him peace to give him presence. Right? And what I mean by that is, I mean presence of mind. It said Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Where did he say that? Because when I read you that text earlier, he didn't say that. But in verse 39, Jesus woke up. He rebuked the wind and the waves. And Jesus says, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. I believe what Jesus did in the physical in verse 39 is what he did in the spiritual. Is what he did in the spiritual in Mark chapter 5, verse number 8. So him telling the wind and the waves, "Peace, be still." This is the peace that the man received in verse 8 of Mark chapter 5. And he did it from a distance. Jesus has sent the Spirit of God forward to give this man revelation, to give this man the presence of mind to see Jesus from a distance, to come out from among the dead, to run to him and to bow low before him, to give him the presence of mind to ask for mercy in this act of repentance. Oh, y'all got to catch that. What Jesus had told this evil spirit to have peace and be still from the boat. Why do I believe that? Because the only time that Jesus rebuked anything, it was in a regard to a spirit. When he rebuked Peter for saying that that Jesus would not be crucified, when Jesus rebuked him for that, he said, "Get behind thee, Satan. That's a spirit." And Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, which was a spirit, which came forth from the man by his own actions. I told you earlier that sometimes our actions will precede us. They will go forth before us. And Jesus recognized what he was. When he woke up, he said, "Peace, be still." And this gave the man the presence of mind to see Jesus as he really was. This gave the man the peace of mind to get the revelation that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Son of the Most High God. That's how he was able to run to him, fall before him, and worship him, even in his state. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" in verse 9. And he replied, "My name is Legion." The man confessed his sinful nature. The man confessed his sin. When Jesus comes to your life and he wants to change you, when he wants to do something paradigm in your life, when he wants to take you out of your situation and from among the dead things, Jesus says, look, he says, "Confess to me your sins so that I can heal you. I cannot heal you unless you tell me what's wrong." He said, "My name is Legion." In other words, I'm a drunk. I'm an addict. I'm trapped in sexual immorality. I'm prideful. I'm arrogant. I'm all these things. He says, confess your sin. The only reason why Jesus wants you to confess your sin is so that he can heal you. He says, the man replied, my name is Legion, because there are many of us inside of this man. There are many demons inside of who we used to be. There used to be many demons inside of who we used to be. And if you have not yet given your life to the Lord, there are many demons inside you now. These are the things that are causing you to act out in the way that is in confrontation, that puts you as an enemy or at enmity with God. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again, do not send them into some distant place. Look, the enemy wants to stay close. The enemy wants to stay near you. He wants to be close where he can have an impact or an effect on your life. Guys, Jesus, he wants to free you from all things. From all things. It said the herdsman that had saw. Like the herdsman that saw what had gone on. Like Jesus had freed the man from these demonic spirits. And when people see what is going on with you, when people see the change in your life, when people see the enemy leave you, when people see you clothed and in your right mind, when people see you as a new man, a new person, they will run and tell people what is happening. Because you don't look like you. You look completely different. People will run around and spread news about who Jesus has now made you. It's as people rush out to see what had happened. And a lot of people want to gather around to see. People want to gather around and look at that. They want to see if the change is real. People want to question if the change is real. I remember when Kanye West, when he came out and said he gave his life to Christ, everybody came out to see if it was real. Nobody congratulated him. He was a spectacle. Everybody wanted to poke fun and make fun and say, oh, I wonder if this is real, if this is really Kanye, if he's really a Christian. I don't know whether he is or if he is not, but it was not my job to go and pass judgment on a man. But I did see how everybody came out of the woodworks. Everybody had something to say about it. And when God does something radical in your life, when God wants to change you, we will see people come from everywhere just to see if it's real. They don't really care, but they just want to see if it's real. You are a spectacle at this point. But they witnessed a man perfectly sane and clothed in his right mind. But when people expect you to be crazy, they will still look at you as a freak. It said those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And everybody who saw was like, we don't want that here. They asked Jesus to leave. All they saw this miracle. They saw what this man had been through. They saw what he had gone through. They knew who he was. They said the man was clothed and in his right mind. They're used to this man running around naked with cuts all over him. Unbathed, unclean, pushed away from everybody. And the first time they've seen this man in forever, he's clothed and he's having normal conversation. He's not howling. He's not screaming. He's not cutting himself. They see him as a result of what Jesus can do. But because people are not willing to accept change, they reject it. They ask Jesus to leave. But the powerful thing about that is that sometimes people cannot accept Jesus, but they can accept what Jesus can do through somebody. They may not be able to accept Jesus, but they can accept what Jesus can do through you. And it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, no, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has done. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I just want to go and be with Jesus. I just want to go and be with Jesus. Like, I want to leave this earth and I want to go and be with Jesus. Yeah, we all do. We're begging to go with him. He says, no. Jesus says, no, your job is not done. You can't go with me yet. He says, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. We're called to go and spread the gospel. We're called to go and give our testimony and tell how merciful God has been, because there are some things that we've done in our life that has required death. There are some things that we've done in our life that we should be punished for, that we haven't got punished for. We've gotten mercy and we've received grace through faith. And let me tell y'all something. This is what was powerful. the man didn't even go home first. Because sometimes our own families are the hardest people to win over. Sometimes our family are the hardest people to make believers out of. Sometimes our family are the naysayers more than the world around us. Sometimes we can do more out in the world than we can in our own household. And that's sad. Why do I say that? Verse 20. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns. It didn't even say he went home. It said he started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. So guys, I titled this podcast, Not About You. It's not about you. There's nothing that we're going through in life that is about you and our situation. Yeah, what we look like, us being, possessed by spirits and what we do and how we fall off and how we fall short. I promise you, we may have think like we're the ones being utilized, like we're the instrument of destruction. We're the ones going through the hurt and the pain, but our chains are not for ourselves. Our chains are not for ourselves. Our chains were meant for other people. So what I'm saying is what we've gone through in life has hindered us because the enemy wants to keep us bound so that we can't go and reach other people. Like we, again, like I said, we sometimes we tend to self-destruct. And so if the enemy can keep us bound in our lifestyle, if he can keep us drunk, if he can keep us high, if he can keep us on the pills, if he can keep us chasing this dope boy lifestyle, if he can keep us into pornography, if he can keep us with all this backbiting and gossiping, if he can keep us in this state where we can't see Jesus, then he's won. Because there are people all over the world who are called, who you are specifically called to go to and teach and reach. And as long as we stay complacent, as long as we stay locked up in that lifestyle, as long as we stay locked up and bound in who we are and we don't accept the change, then those people will never, ever hear the message that we're supposed to go out and teach. We'll never go and be able to tell our testimony. All the people that we were created to free and change, they'll never hear it. We will die amongst the dead people. We'll die in the hills. We'll spend the rest of our life making a bunch of noise that has no impact. And I love the fact that when they said they saw the man clothed in his right mind, this was the response to the man's actions toward repentance. The man was made whole through obedience. The man was given a moment of clarity. And I don't care who you are. And I don't care what you're wrapped up in. I don't care what you were wrapped up in. There has always been a time of clarity where God has given you the presence of mind to show yourself to yourself. To show you where you're wrong in your walk with him so that he can expose you to change and transformation. And this man took advantage of his presence of mind to make a leap of faith, to make a leap of faith. He came out from the tombs. He saw Jesus at a distance. He got the revelation because he came from the dead things. He ran toward Jesus. He bowed low before him. He asked for mercy. And then he confessed that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. He was Son of the Most High God, and he confessed his sin. He asked for mercy. And because of that, he was forgiven, and he was made clothed and in his right mind. And guys, when you come out from your dead place in life, and when you do that, you can see God for who he really is, that he just loves you. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't get off the boat to point out all your strongholds. He didn't come off the boat to point out all the evil spirits that you've been dabbling with. He didn't get off the boat to tell you all the people you've been sleeping with and all the sins that you've been that you've been tangled up in. He didn't get off the boat to tell you that. He got off the boat to free you. Like this is so transforming for those of you who don't know Jesus. Like Jesus is not like he is not an angry God. He's a jealous one, but he's not an angry one. And this man was clothed in his right mind. This man was made righteous through his submission to obedience. He was given direction and a purpose in the presence of what God has done, what he can do. Let me tell you something, guys. Like, it is not uncommon to experience rejection. I don't think that everywhere this man went, that that story was accepted. But it's not uncommon to experience rejection. And I'll be honest with you. More than likely, the rejection will come based upon who you used to be. And that's okay. It's common. It happens. But what you got to take from this story is, guys, that God has done things in your life that will allow you to go and tell the story so that you can free other people. Because like I said before, some people won't accept Jesus initially, but they will accept what they see Jesus do through you. You ever heard that saying that the only Bible people will ever read is you, how you live your life? Yo, you were created to go and tell your story. You were created to get free from the situations that you're in, to be free from your sin, to be free from your shortcomings, and go and tell your story to people. Like, our testimony reveal God's love and mercy in our life. As some people need love, some people need mercy, some people just want to be forgiven. And through your story, you can help people identify that Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive our sins and give us the love that we crave. We're called to share the story by and through faith. So the point is this, guys, is that as long as you make your life about you, you will never do what you've been created to do. Your storm has nothing to even do with you. It has more to do with keeping you away from the people that you were called to minister to. It was made to keep you in bondage so that you can't go and free others from their bondage. Your chains aren't meant to keep you bound, guys. They're meant to keep you from telling your story. So, man, that's my story for y'all. That's the podcast for today. That's what the Lord gave me to tell y'all. We're going to pick up on the rest of chapter 5 next week. Man, I promise y'all, I hope I didn't just say chapter 4, but I promise y'all, man, like, this is heavy. This is life-changing, transforming. Guys, I want y'all to really chew on this word and understand that you were created to do more. I don't care what your situation looks like right now. If you're sick, yo, trust me, I promise you, it's just a shackle that the enemy threw up to keep you bound. Yo, you're supposed to go and tell your testimony. You got to walk in it. You got to walk in your healing. You got to walk in your deliverance. You got to walk in it before you become it. And although this man was not walking in it first, yo, he made the step first. It didn't say that the man was healed from the demon possession before he went bow low before Christ. He did it in the state that he was in. He didn't try to clean himself up first. He didn't try to fix his life up before he went to church. He did it in the state that he was in. And yo, I love it. Yo, I love it. Because it shows me that I don't have to be perfect before I go to Christ. It shows me that I don't have to clean myself up before I give myself to him. Yo, it was only like this man was only delivered by putting it in Jesus' hands, by bringing himself to the feet of Jesus. You guys heard me say that 3 weeks ago, to bring everything that you're carrying to the feet of Jesus so that you can be healed, so that you can be delivered. And that's what this man did. And that's what your testimony will do for others, man. So don't waste another day, man. Go and share your story. Go and tell people what Christ has done in your life so that you can go and free other people. That's the whole reason why I've made this podcast. I'm telling my story. And I've told it in so many different ways. Because you know what? Your story will forever be written. So don't be ashamed of who you are, of what you've gone through. What you've gone through is meant to free somebody else. Don't be ashamed of your chains. Just be glad that you're free from them, y'all. And go help somebody else become free. Hence the name Unchained. I love y'all. Y'all have a great Sunday evening. I love y'all. Peace.